The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. We spoke yesterday about poll accuracy in the US ahead of their general election. And it raised the question, how does our own poll accuracy compare? To discuss this, we're joined by Kevin Cunningham, who's a lecturer at TU Dublin and managing director and founder of Ireland Thinks. And Kevin, before we look at the Irish experience, I was just chatting to you there during the break. You were making an interesting point in respect of the US experience, which is US public polling may not be very reliable, which is Josh's point from yesterday. Party polling is a different thing.
Yeah, party polling in the US is a lot more reliable in some sense. And this is because if you are a pollster in the United States, your incentives are essentially to give the high quality data to the campaigns. You see, Irish campaign funding is much more limited. In the US, as we all know, they have enormous amounts of money to spend. The value of doing a public state level poll for a polling company to get that little bit of advertising is essentially all you get out of it is pretty minimal, in part because of the aggregators. The aggregators such as Nate Silver will take your poll, throw it into an algorithm, give an average of that poll, and that's all you'll get out of it. You'll just be fodder for Nate Silver's little machine, basically.
So the kind of thing that happens here, where Ireland Thinks does one for the Sunday Independent, and the Sunday Indo can flog papers off the back of that,
yeah,
that doesn't happen at state level in the US.
No, it doesn't. No, I mean, you've got pretty small entities, Marist College and that sort of stuff, doing these sorts of polls for state level polling. And the sample sizes you'll see are pretty small. The other thing about polling is the relative accuracy of those polls depends on what kind of goes on behind the curtains. Basically, the extent to which people are actually working harder and harder to make sure it's more and more accurate.
Now, this brings us to the relative accuracy of Ireland versus the US, because over there, at least, they have a binary first-past-the-post system, albeit with an electoral college and a lot of complexity with the states. We have multi-constituency parliamentary proportional representation, which adds buckets of complexity. The kind of things that Josh was talking about yesterday, for instance, he said that very difficult to get representative samples when you phone people, very difficult to get the right demographics, very difficult to get people to tell the truth. Same here?
You all have the same issues. The United States is slightly different. I mean, the response rate is the first thing probably to tackle. So one of the things about when you do a telephone call, you call people randomly on random digit dial, is the percentage of people that will answer that phone call might traditionally have been 10 to 15%, and we kind of got away with that. It's now gone down to around 5% here, and in the United States, it's gone down to 2%. That's where, at least, the point in which in the UK they stopped doing random digit dial telephone calls. So in the UK, they've basically stopped doing these mobile calls entirely. The other thing about the demographics is it's certain types of people that are more likely to answer those calls. So it tends to be people with higher levels of social trust, institutional trust, who tend to be more likely to answer the call. So if I did a random digit dial and didn't do any weighting or any adjustments, I'm more likely to get a sort of a Fine Gael voter, let's say, rather than a sort of a Sinn Féin voter. That's just how it works, I guess.
So why don't you go around and knock on doors?
I do knock on doors as well. Yeah, I do. And you do get the same sort of thing. So there's certain types of people more likely to answer the door. And it's much bigger than the expected turnout differences. So if you knock on a working class area, it might take you 10 or 20 doors to get maybe 3 or 4. Whereas in a very middle class area, you know, you're talking about 80, 90% of people love to answer the door. So there is a very big difference. So no matter what poll you do, no matter what method that you apply, you have to apply a series of adjustments to the polls that you conduct. Now, in the US, I want to say one thing about the US, they have this massive advantage because they have registration figures. So they know exactly how many registered Democrats, how many registered independents, and how many registered Republicans there are. And those sorts of variables, those sorts of facts that you have about the individual that you're talking to are really, really important in terms of trying to make your poll more and more accurate.
How do you then factor in things like constituency-specific issues versus the national picture? So one of the things that we know in Ireland is that we now have, I think, about 22%-ish going independent. But when you then get to constituency level, that can be vastly different depending on who the independent is and what the makeup of each constituency. So how do you cope with that kind of variability?
So there's two things to say. One is that you're right, the candidate factor is really important. The candidate factor is very important, particularly for Fianna Fáil, because you get a lot of candidate-based voters for Fianna Fáil, and especially where you have a lot of voters who might say they're going to vote for Fine Gael, but actually probably more likely vote for the Fianna Fáil candidate because of the relative candidate strengths there. The independent vote, you're absolutely right, is a real problem. So the independent vote, I think, is possibly inflated in the national public opinion polls because people will say they want to vote for an independent as a brand, and the difference between the independent brand versus the candidate can often be quite large because it entirely depends on who the independent is. I think for some people, they're actually parking their vote within independents at this point in time, and certainly in Ireland. So I think there's an undecided vote that's buried within that independent vote because you see it's very volatile, very iffy in terms of whether people know who they're actually voting for when they're saying they're voting for independence.
What then when you try to figure out, one of the things that you do is you poll for what are the issues. How do you figure out somebody answering, I know this is an issue that is in current affairs discussion and therefore I will sound wise and say that I care about it, versus something that really gets to people and they vote about it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There is a big distinction there. Certainly housing is the number one issue in Ireland. And there's no doubt there's an enormous number of people who are directly concerned and directly worried about housing, and their voting intentions and all that sort of stuff relates to that. The other thing about that issue is that it does happen that when an issue gets a certain level of prominence, it becomes the default issue for, I think, exactly as you interpreted, what do people think is the right answer when it comes to what they think is the most important issue. And, you know, in previous periods, it might have been the economy or healthcare or whatever it is.
Well, health is the hardy perennial. It's always there, but it doesn't seem to influence that
much. It's a default. You have to ask people what do they think and they will give you an answer. And it's the same thing for all opinion polls. I mean, a lot of the errors in opinion polls are really down to the fact that a lot of people don't know and we're trying to get an answer out of them. So when we publish national opinion polls, we exclude don't knows. Or we even at best, we try to squeeze the don't knows into a voting intention. Where in reality, a lot of people really don't know who they're voting for, you know, and that's an important consideration. You know?
Is that the case? Because, I mean, if you take the US's case in point, what we are being told is, you know, it's now down to turnout. Everybody is calcified in their pre-existing positions. Are you saying there's still a fight until the last couple of days?
Yeah, they're definitely. I mean, if you look at opinion polling more generally across the world, the accuracy of opinion polls is much larger outside of the final week. So the final week polling is far, far more accurate than it is in any of the weeks before. There's a very, very big difference. The other thing about turnout is, which is really important, is the lower the turnout, the more inaccurate the poll. And the reason for that is because turnout is that single thing that pollsters find the most difficult to adjust for, right? Let me explain this, why this is. Okay, so if I did an opinion poll and I make sure it's representative, I get, you know, 51% women, 49% men, and the right demographics in terms of age and ethnicity and all that sort of stuff, almost everyone's going to tell me that they're going to vote, okay? That's a real problem because when people have looked at that data, compared it against actual voting records, they've found that actually a lot of people overestimate the chances that they're voting. In the United States, black people overestimate the chances of themselves voting, younger people. So basically, anyone who has a low likelihood to turn out is overestimating the likelihood they're voting because no one answers that question very accurately at all, okay? So that means the default methodology in polling will be to overestimate young people and black people. That's why you get likely voter models and all this sort of stuff adjusting for that. But we can't actually know exactly who's going to vote. So if there's a big change in any particular demographic that's going to vote, and I would think particularly the black population in this particular election for other reasons, then it might be something that you'll underestimate. And the reason why I think the black population might be underestimated in terms of their likelihood to turn out because of historical patterns is because what we found in working class areas, their turnout increased when a radical right option became apparent to them. Those areas where lots of people historically didn't vote, these were people who would probably otherwise voted for a radical right party if it was on the available to them because they're conservative by nature, but they're actually not... they're not in favour of the status quo. And typically the centre-right is in favour of the status quo. So this radical right option is bringing all these people into being more likely to vote. And you can see that year after year in the European elections from 1979 up to 2016, there's a decline in turnout. And then until 2014, then by 2016 and 19, there was a big increase. And that's because of this relative increase in radical right parties.
Because people feel that they are enfranchised by those who share their views.
But also because they actually have an option there. Because we kind of sometimes assume that everyone in a working class area or everyone who's disadvantaged is inherently left wing. But that's not the case. I think people who are inherently more conservative won't vote in those areas. And I think that's largely what has happened. And that's the kind of big question mark in this election. Now, I will admit, I was over in Pennsylvania, knocking on doors in Philadelphia, in Chester County in Pennsylvania as well. And you could very clearly see a reluctance amongst the black community in relation to Kamala Harris. I had one guy on the door refusing to tell me who he'd vote for. He didn't really need to say. I knew he was a Trump voter, but he was on the app. He was clearly a registered Democrat.
So money where mouth is?
Well, on the other side, you had Chester County, which was very solidly middle-class white women who were very, you know, down the line.
So
what I do is, I want to say this one thing. People always ask me what's going to happen, right? There's no point in figuring it out until the final week because things move around and it takes a long time to figure out. But put it this way, there's lots of reasons to show why things might go one way and a lot of reasons to show why even Kamala Harris might be massively underestimated as well. So
Kevin,
I need to
add
them
much.
Up.
That is Kevin Cunningham, his lecturer in politics at TU Dublin, Managing Director and Founder at Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.